show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered a restricted broadcast area. You have entered a restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show. America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Welcome, everybody, to the Guy James Show here in the Head On Radio Network, coming to you from the blue waters and sandy beaches of beautiful Southwest Florida, all around the country and all around the world on the net. Glad to have all of you along with us today. Got a lot to talk about. We do hope you'll join us when you feel like it. At toll-free number, 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254, if you'd like to call the program. A lot going on right now. It's certainly not hard to come up with material for a program this week. My goodness, what with the Monica deal going on and the appropriations bill happening and the immigration bill and all that. You know, I've had several of you, and I'm not going to touch on this very long because it's an extremely controversial subject, and I know there are many, many different views on it. And I've had several people, one in particular that I would like to answer, and I guess I have through email, ask my views on the immigration situation. And I am taking a rather pragmatic look at it. I honestly believe, I really do believe, that if we were somehow able to seal the border and not allow another illegal into this country, not another single one, I do believe that we, and I mean when I say we, and I shouldn't say it that way, I do believe the white Anglos would be a minority in another 30 years. I absolutely believe that. The people who are, I don't know, they got a problem with the race, with the folks from Mexico and Central America. That's what's pissing them off. They don't like the idea that they're not going to have the big old white majority anymore. And frankly, I got to tell you, I don't care. I really don't care. I really believe I am colorblind. Honestly, I think I am. I think I always have been. And that coming from a guy who grew up in a rural, all-white area with not a minority of any kind around anywhere, one would think that I would be, I would head that way and just want to be with my own flock. But that's not the way it is, and never has been, and never will be. I really just see other people as human beings. Some of us are big, some of us are short, some of us are ugly, skinny, fat, different colors. Who cares? I really don't care. And I know many of you feel the same way, but it kind of bothers me a little bit that that the main reason a lot of the people are objecting to the immigration thing is they don't want to lose their white Anglo-America. That doesn't matter to me at all. I do, however, understand the tremendous burden that the illegal alien problem has put upon our society with, you know, the hospitals, the schools, benefits that people get. I understand that completely, and I understand people's concerns about it. I really do. So, but it comes down to it with me. Would I spend billions, maybe hundreds of billions of dollars protecting the border for the reason that a lot of the, what I call white supremacists, and let's face it, that's what they are, some of these vigilante groups, would I spend hundreds of billions of dollars guarding the border to keep this a pretty much a white Anglo country? No, I wouldn't. Not when we're destined to become an amalgamation, a mix anyway. And that's the way I see it. Sociologist Guy James here. I could be right. I could be wrong. But there are many aliens in this country from different places. It's so unfair. I agree. I agree that it's not fair to give immunity to folks who entered illegally when some folks from the same countries have been waiting in line a long time. If I had the power to do so, I don't know how I would settle this situation. I don't know. I do not have the wisdom of Solomon on this immigration issue. I guess nor do I have. Of course, I never knew Solomon. But I understand he was pretty smart from what I hear. So, those are my views on that. Do I have an interest in protecting America as a all-white Anglo? Well, we're not all-white, and I don't know that, but God, it gets me. When I talk to people, I know one individual in particular, and I'll speak about him. I know damn well he's not listening, and I tell him this to his face. That's all he's interested in. And some of his friends are very, very, very race-minded on this issue. I don't want those goddamn Mexicans taking over this country, you know. Hey, first of all, I live in an area where there are many, many thousands of Hispanic folks, and I love them. You've heard me say that before. I love them. Hardworking, good family people. And everybody's, oh, what about the crime? Yeah, there's crime. There's crime amongst the Hispanic community where I live right here. There's also plenty of crime amongst the white community and the black community, so let's not get carried away with that, folks. Let's make everybody welcome in the country. I don't know what we'll do about the economic end of it. I don't, and like I said, I will not settle that. I don't think it'll be settled for a long time to come, if ever. I think someday. I think someday. And I'll just be crucified by some Republicans and right-wingers for saying this. I believe someday, if you listen to the words closely in John Lennon's great work, Imagine, I imagine that's how it'll be someday. I do. And most likely, that's the best way. We shall see. Not in my lifetime, but we shall see. 866-546-5254. I see the Democrats are weaseling, I guess is the best word for it, every which way possible to try and I was going to say hide. And yes, in fact, I don't know how many of you are aware of this. Let me see. I had a note on here someplace. They are going to try and hide their votes on this supplemental issue for the war. They're going to actually try through a parliamentary procedure. And I'm still not sure I understand this, but I want to thank Eric for sending this to me, and it's from Dave Sirota, and obviously Dave does understand it. And let me just read a little bit from Dave's diary today. He said, here's how it's expected to work today in a process only Dick Cheney could love. Said it could change at the last minute, but we'll see. Every bill comes to the House floor with what is known as a rule that sets the terms of the debate over the legislation in question. House members first vote to approve this parliamentary rule and then vote on the legislation. Today, however, or tomorrow, whichever day they're going to have the vote, Democrats are planning to essentially include the Iraq blank check bill in the rule itself. by making sure the underlying bill, the rule brings to the floor, includes no timelines for withdrawal and that the rule only allows amendments that fund the war with no restrictions, blank check amendments that House Democratic leaders know Republicans will have the votes to pass. That means when the public goes to look for the real vote on the Iraq supplemental bill, the public won't find out. All we'll find is a complex parliamentary procedure vote, which was the real vote. And Dave goes on to say, Democratic lawmakers, of course, will use the Memorial Day recess to tell their angry constituents that they really are using all their power to end the war, and that they voted against the Republican blank check amendment, which the rule deliberately propels. And that the vote on the rule, which was the real vote for the war, wasn't really the important vote, when in fact they know very well it is the biggest vote on the war since the original 2002 authorization for the invasion. It is devious, deliberately confusing. It's a devious, deliberately confusing cherry on top of the manure sundae being served up to the American public, which voted Democrats into office on the premise that they would use their congressional majority to end the war. Well, Dave, you're exactly right, and I couldn't agree more, and I think it's absolutely shameful and oh so cowardly for Democrats to do this, if they do, to try and hide from their vote. Many of them are ashamed, I suppose. I hope they are. I've mulled this over and over and over again, and it really is bothering me to find out. I need to find out, what do they know that we don't know? And I'm not talking about any classified information here or anything. What political secrets here do they know? Polling secrets? What? What do they know that we don't know in this? Because I believe Democrats are cutting their own throats here. And I believe they're doing it willingly. Here we have a president whose ratings are sinking to depths so low that members of his own party don't even want to be seen with him. We've got ratings that wouldn't allow him to run for dog catcher now. And still, the Democrats are afraid of what he might do to them from his bully pulpit. Really, what do they know that we don't know? What possible reason do they have not to challenge him on this appropriations bill? What possible reason do they have for not shoving it in his face and then telling him to sign their bill or else? What is the reason? This new bill, for all intents and purposes, allows for no change at all in the course of the war. Petraeus is going to come back and give a report, and you know what that's going to be. We've heard several pundits say it. I said it the other day on the program. Never heard a general come back and say, hey, we can't win this thing. You know Petraeus is not going to come before Bush in the Congress the next time around in September and say, you know, we can't win this. I'm a general of the war, and I tried, and just can't win this, folks, so I suggest we bring everybody home. Can you possibly see Petraeus saying that? I certainly don't think so. I think it'll never happen. And I just can't imagine being in the United States Congress knowing that the people are overwhelmingly against this war and not voting against this new bill. The Congress acting like, you know, they're enabling a war addict who needs an intervention here. They should be accountable to the voters, but they act as though we just don't exist sometimes, that we work for them. And I resent that. Let's head on over to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, this is Juanita.
Hello, Juanita.
I'm very perturbed about all that's going on about that war and everything, about that bill.
Yes.
And, you know, Bush had a press conference today.
Oh, yes, I forced myself to watch it.
Well, I turned it when it first came on, and then I went back to it because I couldn't stand to see him gloat.
Well, that's kind of what he was doing, I think.
Uh-huh. But, yeah, it's like, why are they even fighting to begin with? Why don't they just go ahead and say, okay, man, have your way? That's the way they've been doing for the last 6 years, so
that's
why don't
right.
they just keep on if that's the way they want it? What are they afraid of?
They're they're afraid of the big bad wolf in the White House. Yeah. They think he's going to beat on them. And
there must be something we don't know about.
Well, there is. It's just what I was saying. What do they know that we don't
know?
Yeah,
I heard that. And I did hear you yesterday, and I listened to that hearing before you came on, actually, but I turned it off because it was like more of the same.
Yeah.
And one thing that she did say that I don't know if I heard her say it or whatever, but she said, well, I know that was wrong, but I didn't mean it.
Yeah, I didn't mean it.
Kind of like that old song, I didn't know the gun was loaded, and I'm so sorry, my friend.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it just makes you wonder, what in the world are we going to do?
I don't know. I wish I had the answer to that.
Yeah, right.
I don't. We worked so hard to get a Democratic Congress in the last time, and now we find that they've betrayed us. And it's disappointing. It's very disappointing. Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for your call, Juanita.
Okay.
Good to hear you.
Bye bye.
I'm sure most of our legislators like to think of themselves as in the middle, or maybe to use the cowardly Washington word, they like to consider themselves moderates. They hate taking a real stand. No moderate ever takes a real stand. Really, most of them, I think, are deathly afraid of taking a stand on controversial issues at all. They usually stick their fingers in the air to see which way the political wind is blowing. But the thing is, why not this time? You know that's what they usually do. They have the focus groups, all this. Stick their finger up in the air and say, well, I better go this way. Why not this time? The moderates will vote for this new bill because they think it's going to make them look like, defenders of the homeland to the folks back home. And it will do no such thing. The war and this pathetic excuse for a president are getting more unpopular every minute. CBS poll. 76% of the people think this war's gone badly. That's up 10% from just last month. It says 23% think it's going well. Oh, I'd like to talk to a couple of those. If they were on the other side of it, one side of a fence and me on the other, I don't think I'd like to. You know, somebody thinks this war is going well. There's something wrong someplace. But, you know, the deaths of the American military personnel are rising every month. We've not seen any progress in Iraq. In fact, things are deteriorating rapidly. We have Republican presidential candidates standing on a stage in South Carolina and literally bragging about who do the most torture. This whole thing is just upside down. It really is. What do they know, if anything, that we don't know? I wish someone would come out and spill the beans and tell us. It's some sort of a high-stakes poker game going in here, and most of the politicians are betting all of their chips on a pair of deuces on this. Why? It's not going to get any better. How many months have we been hearing that it's going to get better? Actually, I should ask, how many years have we been hearing that? If these politicians think they're going to somehow benefit by supporting this president's crazy war policies, they're just as nuts as he is. It's like they're trying to put a $500 saddle on a $50 mule, and it doesn't make a bit of sense, no matter how you look at it. Like they're walking around Washington with kick me signs hanging around their necks, acting like clowns. You know, in the surge, even now talking about a double surge, really. And it doesn't seem to matter. It's that old adage all over again. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. And how about the presidential candidates on the Democratic side? What will the front runner do? Someone asked Hillary Clinton yesterday afternoon how she would vote, and she made some comment like, well, and it was kind of a smart-ass comment. I was surprised it coming through. She said, when I have something to say, I will say it, gentlemen. What does that mean? I think I know what it means. It means she is not going to vote her conscience, but rather have a campaign strategy meeting to determine which way to vote to gather the most votes. She's worked hard to be seen as a moderate, but now she's in a pickle here. And I understand that. If she votes for the bill, the liberal base will be angry as hell. And believe me, the base has long memories. She'll be about as popular as a skunk at a picnic. And if she votes against it, her Republican opponent, whoever it may be, will claim she's weak on defense. Amongst most of the Democrats, she's been hawkish on this war. She's been on the Senate Armed Service Committee and didn't flinch. And if you'll remember, last June, I think it was, June or July, she was in front of a liberal activist audience, and she didn't mind telling them one bit that making a date certain was a bad idea. She's gradually slipped away from that position, but now what? I say voting for this bill will finish her as a candidate. The Republicans, and I know this, the Republicans are bragging in the halls of the Senate office building that they have her right where they want her, and she can't afford to vote against the bill. I say that's pure BS. I say she can vote against it and withstand any attacks the Republicans make, because the public realizes in great numbers, and we know that this whole thing is a disaster of major proportions. I'm telling you, Hillary, if you vote with Bush on this one, you are finished as a presidential candidate. As far as the left is concerned, you may as well move in with Junior and Laura, because the left will think that's where your loyalties are. And I don't mean to just pick on Hillary. Any Democratic candidate who votes for this bill will be on the left's list of who to avoid like the plague. And some of the candidates have spent a lot of time falling over themselves trying to do penance for voting with Bush to start the war. They'll never survive doing this again. I look at this whole situation and I think, God, how much easier could this be for the Democrats politically? Politically, they have the Republicans on the run on this. Why turn around and run the other way now? Things aren't getting any better in Iraq, and no reasonable person expects anything to change. I say again, I will not support any candidate of the Democratic Party who votes with Bush on this, and I will do everything in my power to influence others to do the same. If they want to help George Bush on this one, they do not deserve to have their offices. 866-546-5254. Let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy, your favorite conservative from Texas. How are you today?
Hi, Mike.
Hey, well, you kind of left the door open there. You said you wouldn't support any Democrat that supported the war. Does that leave the door open for a Republican that you would support?
Certainly not.
Of course not. You were in a pretty foul mood yesterday, Guy.
I was. It
made for an interesting show, though.
Well, it was a major betrayal by the Democrats, more so even than the Republicans. I had more respect for the Republicans yesterday. At least some of them were hopefully voting for what they believe. I'm not sure of that, but the Democrats.
But do you honestly think Hillary's going to vote against it? I don't think she.
I don't know what she's going to do. I wish I did know. I wouldn't want to call that one.
Well, I'm going to send you a Coke if she votes against it, because I'll tell you something. I honestly think, Guy, and I know that you count me in as part of the 30 percenters or whatever I can count.
You are part of the 30 percenters.
I guess I can count you guys in part of the 30 percenters that support the Congress. Their approval rating is actually lower than Bush's. And it should be. I mean, all the stuff they're doing now, I'm upset at them all. You know, I know I've been sending you a few emails back and forth, but I'm really upset over this immigration bill. And what is your... Do you think it's amnesty?
Well, I did you miss the first part of the show today?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I talked about that. I've got a little bit different take on it. I don't know what I would do if I was the emperor of the world and had the power to change the whole thing. I really don't know what I would do. We need the labor. It's driven wages down. I can't blame anybody for wanting to come here and get a better life. I don't know what the answer is. I honestly do believe, though, Mike, my main contention is in it that if we were somehow to able to seal the border off and not let another illegal in right now, that in another 20 or 30 years, we would still not be a white Anglo society.
And, I'll tell you something, guys.
And I believe that is why people want to seal the border.
Well, I don't believe that's the case. I mean,
you know it is. You know that's the reason. You've seen all the testosterone guys down there with their guns and stuff. They're not worried. They're not so concerned about the social issues. They're concerned about people other than white Anglos taking over this country. That's what they're concerned about.
No, I believe they're concerned about illegals taking over the country. And they are slowly but surely doing that. This country's never been against immigration. I'm not against immigration, but I would like it to be legal immigration.
Well, I know somebody that was against it and didn't stop it, and some of their names were Arapaho and the Sioux, and they didn't like it much either.
Yeah, well, you might have a point there, but the but honestly, I think they do need to shut the border down. That's where it starts. We've had this discussion before, Guy.
It's not going to happen. It's like the war on drugs. It's just not going to happen.
Fences do work. We know they work. We all have them in our backyard. And while they're not 100% keeping somebody out, they are absolutely a
Mike, it's not going to work, and I'll tell you why it's not going to work. Because big business does not want it to work. Therefore, it will not work.
Well, why is it working in California, where they've built the fence? It's funneling everybody around it.
What, are you telling me there's no new illegals coming into California?
Oh, there most certainly are, but they're not coming across the border there. They're coming through Arizona and then getting over to California.
Well, they'll get here. They will get here because big business wants them here.
But we don't need to make it any easier for them, Guy. That's the biggest issue.
Mike, the problem is not with the people. If there weren't jobs for them, they wouldn't be coming here now, would they? And guess who's guess who's providing the jobs for them? We all know that. If you shut that off, it's done.
And that's fine. If we're going to do it,
that's the place to attack it.
And that's perfectly fine, but that still does not address the border. Still does not address shutting the door. Does not address that.
And well, you're not going to succeed in shutting the door as long as business wants these people here, and as long as you allow people to the businesses to employ these people willy nilly like they do, it's not going to happen. That's the only place to start. It's the only logical place to start.
Well, where's the left's plan to do this? I mean, okay, if we're gonna. I hear a bunch of bitching about this stuff. Okay,
what's the right's plan to do it? They don't have a plan to stop the employers from employing illegals because they don't want to.
The first place is you got to shut the daggum door.
Have you heard the people on the right talking about shutting off the employment? No, you haven't.
About shutting the door.
That's a ridiculous argument. It's not going to happen. Never going to happen. Never.
Because the left won't let it happen.
You can't put a fence up around it. No, the left, right's got nothing to do with it.
It works in your backyard, Guy. It will work there, too. It does work.
I've never seen a fence that people can't get over. And if they want to come here bad enough, they would. You know, what's the right's answer to it? To build a fence?
First.
Well, first, absolutely. If you take away the jobs, then they won't come. You won't even need defense. You won't need to build spend $100 billion or how many dollars it is on this fence. If they have to have legal employment, you wouldn't need all that. But why not start there? Why not start there before spending all that money on a fence? Why not start with the employment? That's the natural place to start.
You said just a minute ago that it was about letting the... somebody other than the white Anglo-Saxons take over.
That's what these vigilante groups down on the border, that's exactly what they are. They're white supremacists, most of them. Gun-loving white supremacists that, by God, I'm a white guy and we're keeping this white America. These Mexicans got no right in our country.
Because they have a different opinion that makes them racist?
You betcha. when it comes to color of people's skin, that absolutely is right. When they don't want people here because the color of their skin and they want to maintain a white-only society, that absolutely makes them racist. Which is, by the way, the Republican Party, period.
That's absolutely not
the vast majority of racists in this country are Republicans, period.
That's a bunch of bull.
It is not a bunch. It is not. Mike, I will answer this with one simple question. Give me the list of the black Republicans in the Republican Congress. Give me the list.
You know what?
Give me the list. How many Republican congressmen are there right now? Tell me.
None.
That's right. Racist. Racist. Racist party. That's exactly what they are.
The left demonizes them when they're on the right. Just like Michael Steele.
Oh, so the reason a black man can't get elected is because the left? A black Republican, Ken Blackwell, couldn't get elected in Ohio because of the left?
Absolutely. Because the left sits there and does nothing but demonize.
Listen, you don't know what you're talking about. Ken Blackwell was a very popular guy in Ohio. He runs for governor, and he gets his ass kicked. And he got his ass kicked because Republicans in Ohio will not vote a black man as their governor. Just as they will not vote in a congressman or a senator either. It is a party of racist. And if you ever want to argue with me on that, as I always say, give me the list of the black congressmen and the black senators. There are none. And you should be ashamed of your party for that reason. Goodbye. That is the most ridiculous argument. We got these guys with guns down on the border. No matter how you feel about the immigration issue right now, you've seen them. You've seen them. They're racist. I perfectly understand, as I explained. I understand the issue of the economic problem of the illegals coming into this country. I do understand it. But building a damn fence is not the answer. You start with the employers, and the Republicans will not start with their employers because they want the cheap labor. They wanted to bust the unions. They have done that, and they want to keep the cheap labor. And until you start with it in that end, you can take that fence and stick it because it's not going to work. You are not going to keep hungry people out of this country that want to come here. You will not keep people out of this country that want to bring their family here for a better life out of Central America and Mexico. You will not. As long as there are jobs here for them. But if you start with the jobs, it's going to end. What an absurd argument. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, you still get them, Guy. You still get them. They're out there. Anyway, on your other matter, I figured it out. Follow the money. The corporations that are in the war are making billions.
You followed the money on this immigration issue, too.
Yeah. And, as a matter of fact, Bush has already, I think, awarded several $1 billion to Halliburton to contract it out and build a $2,000 wall with ladders over it. But this war being so profitable to the Halliburtons, the Lockheed Martins, and ExxonMobil and all, they put money in the pockets of the DLC Democrats. So their awkward thing is, do I risk alienating the voters, or do I risk alienating those people that are putting the big bucks into my campaign? That's the choice that's confronting them. And they're going to say, I need the money. That's what they're saying, I think.
Yep. No money, no money, no votes, no votes, no offices. It's that simple.
Yeah. So if there's a mystery about it, I have to think that's it. These big corporations are paying off our politicians. Those that will take it. Now, there's some good ones that say, no, I do not wish to have war profiteers putting money in my campaign. There's a few, some really good people. Or there's maybe a few that accept it but say, to hell with you, I'm still not going to vote for your war. You know, but they don't get to do that a second time.
Well, I hope every last Democrat, and I've had some of my Democratic friends criticize me severely for saying this, but I hope every last Democrat that goes along with Bush on this appropriations bill is voted out of office.
I certainly hope they do, too. They're more useless to us than a Republican.
The Republicans are at least more honest on it.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Dave.
Thank you, Guy.
Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. About the issue with illegal labor coming into this country, okay, if that idiot who just called before really wants his Anglo-America back and people like him, how about having a fair trade policy globally? How about allowing Mexican corporations to compete on a level that, that don't suppress them? How about making life better in third world countries overall? Okay? I guarantee you that people do not necessarily want to... People only come here out of economic need. Very few come here out of political or freedom and all that. People, for the most part, they want to do is live well and be fed, for the most part.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. It's 99% has got nothing to do with political problems. They come here for a better life, and you're exactly right. We as a country always attack these problems upside down from the wrong way. I happen to think, you take the Middle East for example. I think we want to get out our guns and solve these problems, and that's not the way you solve them.
And, it goes all around. My family I come from an immigrant background. My parents came here, and believe you me, it was one of the toughest decisions ever made. It's almost like having an abortion.
Oh, who would want to leave their homeland if they didn't have to?
Exactly. And it was because things in the Caribbean, because of the United States now, who goes down, especially here in Latin America and the Caribbean, goes down and bullies these governments into opening up their markets so the countries can no longer feed themselves. And it's like the prime example, United Fruit Company in Honduras, or, when they try to nationalize or do land reforms, the United States send the CIA down there to overthrow the government.
Any little country like that that's got anything we need is going to come up on the short end, or is involved with a big American corporation, is going to come up on the short end of the stick with the American government every single time.
It just boils down to, how about creating a situation where life could be better in these countries, and you will have your white angle.
Yeah.
You will have it.
That's the sensible way to look at it. I certainly agree.
And it's something that both parties do. They dummy up a corner because they don't want to restrain U.S. corporations on the world stage. And that's what's driving this foreign policy, is the United States corporations.
Oh, where I live here, there's a huge building industry. It's slowed down a little bit right now. It's the same like in Phoenix, Arizona, and Las Vegas, the three biggest growing areas of the country. And you should see what wages are here for carpenters and roofers and plumbers. Practically nothing. And it's practically nothing, but these huge builders are making massive profits because they're hiring their help for peanuts.
Well, I used to live in Florida. Trust me, I know. Florida's one of the most anti-labor state.
Oh, yes.
Come across any one of these right-to-work states. And, it's kicking this country in the behind, whether these rednecks want to realize it or not. You and your mentality is what's destroying this country. Whether you know it or not, it's like I'm writing an article right now how the so-called American dream is killing, not only killing this country, but killing the world. And, what's driving it is this neat oil. And
You're starting to cut out us here.
Hello?
Oh, okay. I think we're...
Okay. The third world always has things that the United States and other, industrialized countries could not live without, didn't want to pay for. And we'll do anything to get it. And it all boils down to that. Any nationalist party, whether it be here, England, wherever... If they want the blacks and browns to stop coming, How about having a fair balance of trade between us and yourself? That's all I have to say.
It's a good start. Hey, good call. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Hey, another news today. Mary Cheney had a baby. Vice President Cheney's daughter, Mary, gave birth to Samuel David Cheney. How'd you like to have that Dick, or Dick and his wife as grandparents? I'd be afraid to take my kid over there. You can bet on that. Oh, my. Hey, we got to pause for a quick break. We'll be right back.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Boxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary. We'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. Join us every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox on Boxed Up. And for music with political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
I'm sick and tired of the bullshit. So I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV. Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired of all the bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Darling, you could pass the time, could you entertain me? Despite all the problems in the world, hunger in the land, we'd rather you people know who took a jury stand. Scott Peterson tried, well, he's a murderer, I agree. There's a lot more things in this world that your country needs to see. Well, it all started with O.J. running in his old white Bronco.
Where's O.J.?
Running from the law with a bloody glove. He hit the road.
Yep.
Here we are in the middle of a war with glamour, fighting to be free.
Weapons of mass destruction.
Well, there's a Patriot Act at home. It's monitoring you and me.
Mass destruction.
But it's water under the bridge when the next thing you know there's a new spicy sex tape.
Mass destruction.
Or reality show, it's crossed the line. Jessica Simpson's made.
Mass destruction.
Yes, I'm so sick and tired of all this bullshit on my TV.
It's the bullshit.
Entertainment ain't as entertaining as entertainment could be. And I'm so sick and tired.
Oh, I'm sick of it, too. Aren't you all sick of it? I'm just sick of it. You know, I don't know what it is. It's like a moth to a... I watch it, and then I'm pissed that I did. I'm in another foul mood today, as you can tell. I apologize to everybody that doesn't like it if I get upset. But I just can't stand it anymore. This party of responsibility, these Republicans, these conservatives. And what the hell are they conservative about? What are they conserving? We know they have no interest in saving the planet. We know that. They fight everything that ever comes. What are they conservative about? What are they conserving besides their own money? What? Anything? I don't get it. And I'm tired of listening to them. I'm tired of it when I see it on TV. It's just I got a letter from not a letter but an email today from my good friend Elaine in Iowa. And she said, "Guy, just got to listen to a part of your show from yesterday. I share your frustration. However, I wrote to Nancy Pelosi and told her I wish they would have another election for Speaker and she would be replaced. I can't write to Harry Reid as his, as only his local constituents can. What I have done is that I got a call last night from the Democratic Party asking for money. I sent them what I could from time to time. I told them last night I will not give any more money to the Democratic Party until they get a backbone. Maybe if enough people did that, they'd realize who put them in office." I wholeheartedly agree, Elaine. I certainly do. And I know those are the sentiments of so many people right now. I don't have C-SPAN on right now, so I don't know if they're going to vote on that appropriations bill today or tomorrow, but most certainly they're going to do it. They're going to pass it. And I've got a question for all my Republican friends who watched that debate in South Carolina a couple of weeks ago and watched the 10 gentlemen up on the stage make asses of themselves. Well, 9 of them, not all 10. We didn't hear from Ron Paul on this issue either, I don't think. But I'm curious, and I'd like to ask the question of all these testosterone-saturated guys. I'm a big, tough SOB, and I got my gun, and I got my pickup truck, and I'm going to war, and I'm going to kick ass. Well, maybe I'm not going to war, but I hope somebody else does, and I'll back them if they do, and I'll put one of them little ribbons on the back of my truck and fly my big flag. One of those. Just a small story before I get back to the phone. A River Patrol police officer in Masayab, 60 kilometers south of Baghdad, said the man found in the river appeared to have been killed about a week ago, and his head showed signs of torture. This is our soldier that was killed and found floating face down in the river. It's highly unlikely that his captors would have ever treated him humanely, regardless of our own interrogation methods. But to what extent, and I ask you this, when the general public finds out this man was tortured, to what extent can the American people, especially the Republicans, be righteously indignant about it? Oh, we were righteously indignant every time we found one of our people had been tortured, right? I'm curious, and I asked this question of the Republican presidential candidates who stood on that stage in South Carolina a couple of weeks back and said torture would be perfectly acceptable to them. If one of you gentlemen had been given the task of calling Private Anzac's family and telling them about his death and torture, what would you, none of which served in the military or ever will, know the horrors of war and torture, what would you tell his family about his death by torture? I'd be interested to know that answer. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Whichever one of these Republican candidates proves that he is the most bloodthirsty will absolutely be the nominee of the party. A little harsh on Republicans today, but that's how it is. If the shoe fits, wear it. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, it's Freckles. It's Kathy.
Hi there.
Hi, Guy. I wanted to talk about something completely different than what you were about the Republicans, but maybe it relates. I call into this network. I usually talk to Bob, and one of the things that I have talked about is that my mom is in jail, and that after she got arrested, my brother started to take care of me, and I just read an article yesterday, and I wrote about it today. I wrote about it yesterday about a boy like me whose mom went to jail when he in Mississippi when he was 11. So this is before the storms. There was no guardian ad litem, and nobody in social services made sure that he had a place to stay. And he ended up going from one part of his family to another and going from relative to relative, and people were hitting him and everything, and he ended up at 12 and 13, or I'm sorry, no, this was when he was 10. He ended up living on the streets when he was 10 years old and going to school, and nobody at school, like, did anything or told anybody or made sure he was okay. And now he's with a family, and he's doing really well, and he won an award from school from fifth grade, which is really cool. But how many kids in this country aren't getting taken care of? And how many kids, how come, this is like, how many countries in the world don't take care of their kids? Like, if your mom goes to jail, somebody has to take care of you. And how can there be states where there's not people to make sure that happens?
Well, you know, you asked the question of how many countries, and there are, unfortunately, millions of children around the world who are not being taken care of properly, but not in a country with the wealth that we have. And that's the shame of it all. There's enough wealth in this country to take care of every child who needs to be taken care of properly. And unfortunately, that wealth isn't spread around enough to do so. And some kids end up on the short end of the stick, and it's a real crime. It's a sin here in this country with all the things that we have here to allow that to happen. It really is that more people can't open up their hearts and their wallets to help out kids like that
It's not that they didn't have a foster family. It's that they didn't even look. Like, I have here, there's a CPS lady that comes and makes sure that everything's okay once in a while. And I have a guardian ad litem. And, like, they sent me for counseling. And my brother went to counseling. And, like, they made sure that we're okay.
That gives you a feeling of security, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And there's
well,
so many
I'm
kids.
Old enough to ask for help if I need it.
Yeah.
But he was 10. I was 11 when my mom went to jail.
Yeah. What do you do when you're 10 or 11 years old? I mean, that's frightening. It really is. That's really, really frightening. I can't imagine. Can't imagine that. I just can't imagine.
The article, which was from MSNBC, but it's actually from Newsweek, it didn't say if he has a counselor now. But given everything from the last year or the last 2 years, he needs one.
Yes, yes.
And what, you know, when the adults in the country don't take care of us when we need it, then they get surprised when we all grow up and are crazy or addicts or do criminal stuff.
Yeah, you're right. You are absolutely right.
They should take care of them. They should take care of all of them. And how many more are in Mississippi that don't have anybody looking out for them?
I'm sure far, far too many. I'm sure of that.
He was in school.
Yeah, there's no excuse for that happening. There really isn't. And you're doing okay now?
I'm doing good, yeah.
Well, good.
I just finished the ninth grade today.
And your brother?
My brother is, he is in the Army, and he's doing great.
Okay.
And, yeah, everything's good.
Well, that's good to hear. You're one of the lucky ones that came out of this okay. And I'm sure glad to hear it. Thank you for your call.
Can I tell you the name of my blog?
Yes, certainly.
Is that okay?
Yeah, of course.
Freckles Cassie. So Freckles and then CASSIE.wordpress.com.
Cassie.wordpress.com. Okay.
Yes.
Freckles.
Cassie.wordpress.com.
Okay. Everybody, yeah. Take WordPress. Everybody, write that down right now. Thank you so much for calling. Good to hear from you.
Thank you, guys.
And continued good luck. Bye bye.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Oh, what a nice voice, and it's good to hear a success story there. But so right that there are millions of children. We've got who knows how many in our own country here that are not properly being taken care of. And of all places, that should never happen here, but it does. Too many slip through the cracks, I'm afraid. Far too many. I think we have time for maybe one quick call before we go to the break at the top of the hour. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. I called you a couple days ago, but I just wanted to remind everybody, my name's Diana from Olympia.
Yes.
And do you remember me calling?
Yes, of course.
That supplemental is coming up on the vote for the Iraq deal. And I'm also a member of MoveOn.org as well as a head-on listener.
Mm-hmm.
And if people call Barack Obama, they can encourage him to vote no on it, because it says here that Nancy Pelosi told the New York Times that she wouldn't vote for a bill unless it had timelines to end the war.
Right.
I don't know what's going on, really.
They're going to leave us as confused as possible. What are you betting about Obama? I'm saying he's got to vote against it.
Oh, he's got to, because he said that it contains no timelines to end the war and no real accountability for the president, and it's basically a blank check. That's what Obama himself said.
Yeah.
Or he wrote. And so he's got to vote no, but there's a number. Can I give it out?
Sure.
To call Barack? It's 866-675-2008. And plus, I'm also a supporter of John Edwards, and I sent him some money today because I just really think it's got to be Edwards or Obama in my book, because I don't see anyone else who can pull it off.
Well,
I think
we've got several people who can win, but my problem is coming up with who I want to win. I think we've got several people who can win. I don't think the Republicans going to have much luck in the presidential election next time around, but we want to get the right.
I was listening to Tom Hartman and just getting the tail end of what he was saying, and he sort of is trying to spin this a little bit. I was surprised that he's trying to spin this, that this is good for the Democrats if they don't, play the game, because they don't have the win for the veto. But I think from what I've heard, Bob Kincaid, and from you guys, we should just keep trailing this out and keep making him veto it.
Yeah. Does anybody think for a moment that George Bush was going to strand the soldiers over in that foreign land and not let them get to come home? Does anybody think for a minute that would happen if this supplemental was voted down? Of course not. Everybody would make sure that they got back home here safe and sound. But unfortunately, our politicians didn't have the guts to go ahead and go through with it.
Well, I saw on the New York Times, finally, I saw some video of some guys really getting hurt. Yesterday, they had a video on Raw Story that was from the New York Times video, and it showed a guy with his arm practically blown off. And, you're not getting anything like, I'm old enough to remember marching against the Vietnam War, and we got a lot of video that was maybe 3 or 4 days late because it had to fly
mm-hmm.
here. But now we're finally getting something. I don't know what's going on, but I think we are going to get a Democrat, and I just can't stand the thought of Hillary Clinton.
Well,
though I've sent her money.
We shall see. Hey, got to run. Thank you for your call, Diane.
Hey, thank you, Guy. You do a great job.
Thank you. Bye-bye. I don't know who's going to win this thing. I don't. I do warn all these candidates like Obama and Hillary. Biden's already said he's going to vote for it. You want to know the truth? I don't have much use for Joe Biden. Never did. Biggest blowhard that ever walked in the halls of Congress, without question. Without question. Good dresser, though. Oh, Joe has nice clothes. We're going to pause for the news coming up now at the top of the hour. You are listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network. And we'll be back. right around 5 after the hour. And we'll have Bruce from talkingradio.blogspot to tell us the news of talk radio this week.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush was in the Rose Garden talking to reporters today. Many issues were covered during the press conference, including Iran and the war in Iraq. The president says he expects fighting in Iraq will be heavy, adding this summer will be a critical time for the new war strategy. Commenting on Iran, President Bush says he would work with allies on imposing stricter sanctions against Iran, who, according to the latest UN Watchdog Agency report, has accelerated its uranium enrichment program. The body pulled out of the Euphrates River yesterday has been officially identified as U.S. Army Private Joe Anzac. Anzac, along with two soldiers, were captured during an ambush on an observation post on May 12th, which killed four U.S. and one Iraqi soldier. Coalition forces continue to search Iraqi neighborhoods in search of the remaining missing men. Today is the fourth day of fighting between Lebanese forces and a group of Islamic militants holed up in a Palestinian refugee camp near Tripoli. Beirut says it will not surrender to terrorism and has accused the terrorist of trying to destabilize the country. At least 69 people, including 30 Lebanese troops, 19 militants, and 19 refugees, have been killed. In Iraq, a car bomb killed 28 and wounded 52 in Fallujah this morning. The attack occurred during a funeral procession, according to an Iraqi official. Democratic leaders expect to present President Bush with a war funding bill by tomorrow. The House will vote today on the $120 billion war package, which does not contain a timetable for troop withdrawal. Three U.S. warships carrying 1,400 sailors and Marines are steaming towards the Philippines. The U.S. forces have been deployed to conduct exercises aimed at rooting out Islamic terrorists on the island nation. In northwestern Afghanistan, a roadside bomb today killed one Finnish peacekeeper and wounded four Norwegians. In Sri Lanka, 10 soldiers and a civilian have been killed in attacks in the last 24 hours. The government blames the Tamil Tiger rebels. In the Kurdish territory of southern Turkey, 6 soldiers were killed today in a landmine blast. Another 10 were wounded. For the first time, New York City has placed the death of a person exposed to World Trade Center toxins on the list of 9/11 victims. Felicia Dunn Jones was trapped in World Trade Center dust 5 months ago and has died from the exposure to those toxins. Her death has been officially classified as a homicide. In San Diego, 44 people have been indicted for smuggling $35 million worth of heroin across the Mexico border into New Jersey and New York. Law enforcement seized heroin, cocaine, meth, and marijuana. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Coming up next, science and business.
Most people would rather have a root canal than go to a dealer to buy a car. But you can turn dread into joy when you learn how to play the car buying game. Read the book, Right Car, Right Price, and you'll discover how the game is played and how you can win every time. Whether you're buying a car or a truck, new or used, Right Car, Right Price explains how to find and buy the vehicle best suited to your individual transportation needs. Auto Week called Right Car, Right Price the right stuff. So take the hassle out of car buying. Read Right Car, Right Price, and every time you get into your new car, you'll know you've got a great deal. Go online to rightcarrightprice.com to order your copy today. It only takes an hour to read Right Car, Right Price, and it just costs $10. We even pay the postage. So go to rightcarrightprice.com right now. It'll be one of the best decisions you ever make.
The FAA warned today travelers should expect even more flight delays than the 500,000 experienced last year. Predictions of bad weather and crowded flights contribute to the agency's forecast. A Commerce Department report says sales of new homes jumped by the largest amount in 14 years. In the report, sales of single-family homes rose by 16.2%, but the median price dropped by 11.1%. Experts say the mixed signal still leaves uncertainty over whether or not the housing slump has ended. Limited Brands decreased quarterly profits 46%. The company earlier this week announced it was selling many of its clothing retail divisions. And although other retailers have been seeing disappointing numbers this quarter, Target posted a 18% boost in profits. Revenues were listed above $14 billion. The company credits its reputation for designer products at discount prices. A former secretary from Coca-Cola Company has been sentenced to 8 years in prison for plotting to steal the iconic soda's recipe and sell it to rivals. The federal judge sentenced the 42-year-old woman to more time than recommended by prosecutors. The Democrat-led House has adopted a bill giving the FTC power to investigate price gouging at the gas pumps. The legislation outlaws station owners charging excessive prices or taking advantage of consumers. Light sweet crude right now is trading at $64.42 a barrel on the New York Mercantile Exchange and on Wall Street. The Dow Jones is down 25 points, the NASDAQ is down 28 points, and the S&P 500 is down 9 points. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
Guy James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Good countdown. 6... 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Yes, Guy James back with you. Welcome back, everybody. I hope you learned something from the news anyway. I'm not sure I did today. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give us a call. We got another hour to go, and we've got a lot of information to pass on for that hour. So, hey, as promised, right now we've got Bruce from TalkingRadioBlogspot.com with us. Hiya, Bruce. Are you with us?
I'm here.
Hey, what's up in the world of talk radio today, this week?
Well, you know, it's an interesting time. You know, we're still dealing with the IMUS effect. It was a talk radio, a guy who worked with IMUS, his name was McGuirk, and he was supposed to do a talk show in Boston on WRKO, and when local activists got word of the fact that he was IMUS's producer and probably had said more racist things than IMUS.
Oh, yeah.
Related. I don't have the quotes right in front of me, but this guy is pretty vile. They pulled him off.
Mm.
They got such a strong backlash from people in the community that didn't want to hear this guy that they basically canceled the show. So I think it's interesting. He wasn't going to get a show. He was actually going to co-host interesting enough, a guy named Tom Finnernan, who's a Democrat, who has a morning talk show that's not doing too well in the ratings. And they figured, well, maybe it'll spice up his show a little bit. But that didn't work out, so now they're back to square one. And, you know, otherwise than that, we are following a lot of things that are going on right now in the business with the new ratings that came out for the winter and trying to determine whether Liberal Talk will start being able to build up its station count. Lost a lot of stations for a couple of months, but now that seems to have stopped, and everyone's wondering what the new format on Air America Radio is going to be like, because they've made some changes with your buddy Lionel, who was a North Florida guy, wasn't he?
I'm not sure where Lionel's from.
Tampa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Originally, he started in Tampa.
Oh, okay. But he's got to be from New York originally, doesn't he?
Oh, no. Well, and actually, he's from South Florida.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, you sure got that New
York
thing.
And there's some question about his ancestry. Some people actually think he's Cuban, but now I've heard he's not, you know. But then again, if you live in Miami.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. yeah, that's a whole different world.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're waiting to see with Air America what their new format is going to reveal. It seems, I know Randy Rhodes got a little bent out of shape because Mark Green, who's the new president of Air America,
mm-hmm.
who does a little bit of programming himself, apparently he had an interview with Hillary Clinton, which, you know, I guess he thinks that's the kind of talk radio that people are looking for. But Randy was a little offended by the political nature of Air America, that they seem to be going for the Barack Obamas and the Hillary Clintons and the John Edwards types a little bit too aggressively. So we'll see how that plays out.
Oh, I would have thought Randy would have been upset because he got the interview and she didn't.
Yeah, right. I know. I don't think she. I don't think she really likes doing interviews. And I think you know that whether there's a jealousy factor there or just a matter of style. I don't want to put words in her mouth.
Yeah. No, nobody puts words in Randy's mouth. There's plenty of plenty of them there already.
Yeah.
She's a unique individual, with no question about it.
Yeah. So next week, actually, probably we'll have something blogged about the new programming on Air America to decide whether anything is going to change or whether you know it's a tough market out there. You know, you can't compete with Stephanie Miller. She owns the morning time series right now, and they're trying with Lionel to see whether Lionel can compete with her. But I think my understanding is he might be on only one or two stations right now.
Hmm. I don't know. You know, I don't keep track of the morning radio. I guess I'm not a morning guy. I'm not one of those morning zoo type guys. Never
yeah.
was. I when I'm up in the morning, well, I'm obviously the different one. Obviously, people like that sort of thing. We have. Yeah. Several groups of them around here that there's 2, 3, 4 on the radio in the morning. I always call them the morning zoo type people.
Yeah.
It's just not me. I'm not into jocularity in the morning.
Yeah. Well, Stephanie has definitely got that market tied up because she is certainly a morning zoo type with just enough political stuff to attract progressives who want an alternative to whatever else is on in the morning.
Yeah. And I'm not being two-faced. I told her this. And people will hate me for saying this. I don't get that show. I just don't get it. I'm not one for whistles and all the sound effects, 10 sound effects every minute and all that. I just, but again, I'm obviously in the minority.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any question, but people do like it. But I do wonder what demographic they're after right there.
Yeah, yeah, and it remains to be seen. I think a lot of it had to do with Al Franken and the fact that and some of the other alternatives that Air America has come up with in the early morning or the mid morning. Depending which time zone you're on, you got to remember that liberal talk radio, well, actually, all talk radio is not time delayed like cable channels are. You know, you can watch MSNBC is sometimes a different time zone on the West Coast than the East Coast. But if you listen to Rush Limbaugh, if you listen to Randy Rhodes, you're listening to them live in most cases, and that means somebody might be on from 6 to 9 a.m. in the East Coast, and then that same person's on at 9 to 12 on the West Coast.
Yeah, it's a tough deal, too.
So the morning zoo concept really doesn't work if you're going for a 9 to 12 audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So excuse me, like usual, I get my time zones backwards, the other way around.
Yeah, you're on the...
That's why I miss calling you sometimes, Guy, because I never can compute the time correctly.
Do we have to send you one of those little clocks that computes the time for you?
You know, I might need that.
All right.
I need that.
Well, Bruce, thanks for you. And give us your blog spot and all.
www.talkingradio.blogspot.com.
All right, and we'll look forward to talking to you again next week.
Okay, Guy.
Thanks, Bruce.
Bye.
Yeah, the World of Talk Radio. I really don't get that show. That Stephanie thing. I guess that's for a demographic much, 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 much younger than I am, I guess. That must be what the deal is with that, or else I'm just weird. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Uh, 866-546-5254. I see the Guy James Show official Yorkies have walked into the studio. Sophie and Kukla. I hope they'll be quiet. It's the only reason I let them in here. Once in a while, they're not quiet. The only talk show that you know of that's got two Yorkies in the studio. Ah, yes. Regarding this Monica thing yesterday, I just want to get a few comments in on that. You know, the Justice Department responds to Monica Goodling's damning revelation that Alberto Gonzalez may have tried to shape her testimony. And we had the statement out of the DOJ. Brian Roarkas, the Justice Department spokesman, said in a statement that Mr. Gonzalez, quote, has never attempted to influence or shape the testimony or public statements of any witness in this matter, including Ms. Goodling. The statements made by the Attorney General during this meeting were intended only to comfort her in a very difficult period. You know, I need to apologize to Gonzo. I really do. What a guy. He wanted to comfort her. This guy's compassion knows no bounds. Now, here's a guy that didn't even know most of the U.S. attorneys, didn't have the time to even find out who the hell they are, know them or anything, but he has time to comfort Monica. His compassion truly does know no bounds. And, you know, first we hear that he's such a good guy that he went to the hospital to check out on, you know, check his good friend, John Ashcroft, to see that he was okay. That's why he went, wasn't it? And he was so concerned about Ashcroft's health that he went there even though Mrs. Ashcroft had insisted that he not go. And now we hear this. He wanted to comfort Miss Monica. I love this guy. I love this guy. And I'll get back to the phones just in just a moment. I've heard countless people comment about Monica Goodling's testimony yesterday, and I did see most of it. And what a dear, sweet, honest, and well-prepared witness she was. A lot of people are saying, you know, telling us all about the other nasty people in the DOG. Remember this. Those of you that think that she came across as a nice little gal. Dear little Monica is just as much a political thug as those she worked for. Her little I'm a victim act yesterday was pure theater. It didn't work for me. And I really can't believe anybody bought it. And until all this came to a head, you didn't see dear little Monica getting all indignant about having to do her hatchet job in the Department of Justice. Now, did you? She didn't refuse to do the dirty work and walk out, did she? No. She was the good Bush mafia soldier and did the bidding of her masters, right or wrong. And in some cases, she knew it was wrong. She pretty much was enforcing the rule that unless the U.S. attorneys would prosecute whoever Karl Rove wanted prosecuted, then they were out in the street. Nice little gal, that Monica. And, of course, there's that little matter of her breaking the law, but then she didn't really mean to. Let's face it, she knew all about the caging, and that was, you know, she was just fine with it. She knew what they were doing to these U.S. attorneys was wrong, and she was fine with it. She's just as low, just as nasty, and just as vile as anybody else involved in this whole affair. And her explanation of why she asked for immunity ended up being a fat lie itself. She explained that she wanted the immunity from some unexplained, unforeseen crime that may be lodged against those at the DOJ that testified. She said this knowing that she'd broken the law and she was subject to prosecution for crossing over the line, as she put it. But she didn't mean to. She didn't mean to. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show. Hello.
That's
I hear a voice in the background. Goodbye. Why do people do that? 866-546-5254 if you'd like to give the show a call. Was anybody foolish enough to think that just because there's this big, ugly investigation of the DOJ going on that Junior Bush should back off from his penchant for illegal activities? It's just more in-your-face middle finger waves coming from the White House. And, of course, it's too late for us to do anything about Bush's stupidity. It's never going to change. But check this out. President Bush has signed a non-lethal presidential finding that puts into motion a CIA plan that reportedly includes a coordinated campaign of propaganda, disinformation, and manipulation of Iran's currency and international financial transactions. I think that this is flat out amazing. F you to the American public, F you to the world, I'm George W. Bush, and I'm going to do what I damn well please, and the rest of you can just stick it where the sun doesn't shine. But the really amazing part is that Bush is doing this because it's his way, his alternative to attacking Iran with our full military. That's right, I think Dick Cheney and friends want to take out Iran, and this is Junior's way of holding them back, for now. Junior's presenting this as the sensible path. He's playing the middleman between the people in his administration who actually want to use diplomacy, and how many of those are in his administration. They want to have diplomacy with Iran, and those who want to take them out militarily. And you can bet Dickie Boy, the new grandpa, is trying to get that done. Now, this is Junior the Peacemaker in action. After hearing this, how the hell can the Congress write him another blank check for Iraq, knowing his administration is running amok with our military? They're having Navy drills right now, trying to intimidate the Iranians. How could they have that vote a couple of weeks ago to allow him to virtually do anything he wants in Iran? You know, instead of giving this guy a free hand to do what he wants, I'm amazed that the Congress isn't taking every opportunity to put handcuffs on him. Does the Congress not know the history of what we've been doing in that region? Have they forgotten about the out-of-control Ayatollah Khomeini's government? Have they forgotten how menacing a secular Iran can be? Why the hell would they want to undermine the government of Iran right now? I mean, yes, the Iranian government is no bed of roses, but it sure as hell is a lot better than they had before. A lot more stable than anything they've had in a long time. Of course, this isn't going to work, and then what? The Iranian people will know that the Americans, once again, were putting their noses where they don't belong and interfering in the sovereignty for the sole purpose of benefiting the United States. And it will do nothing more than to help solidify the Ahmadinejad government. All of this coming from a president who hasn't made a single decision about Middle East policy that's worked at all. He's been dead wrong on all accounts, and yet Congress throws him the checkbook and says, have at it, Junior. I completely understand that it's difficult to deal with a president who doesn't have the brains or the maturity of Daffy Duck. But the Democrats need to step up to the plate. Sooner or later, things are going to spiral even more out of control, and somebody will push the nuke button, and there'll be hell to pay for the recipient of the weapon, and eventually double hell to pay for us. Why don't the Democrats understand that this is real danger we're playing with here? Real danger. And the danger's on our side of the water. Most definitely. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to call the program, and we hope you do. We'll treat you nice most of the time. We'll be back in just a moment or two. Thank you for being with us here today on the Guy James Show. We're glad to have all of you along with us. You can call the studio line at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. Love to hear from you today, see what's on your mind. Interesting week, a lot going on, this appropriations bill and all that, but you know there's always something else that pops up, odds and ends pop up, and one of the things I wanted to talk about, you know, the Republicans are having a hard time finding a presidential candidate. Actually, you know, they've got a bunch of them, but they're having a hard time finding one worthy of carrying the torch for the Republican Party, and a lot of people think that is Fred Thompson. You've heard that a lot lately. And they think Fred is no doubt pure and clean and you know, just an amazing guy and very presidential and everything. And so that's why they want him to get in, because they think, oh, Fred might have a good chance of winning. Well, former Tennessee senator and potential Republican presidential candidate Fred Thompson has shut down a political action committee that paid out more money to his son than it did in political donations. Federal Election Commission records analyzed by the blotter on ABCNews.com show that Thompson's committee paid $178,000 to his son's political consulting firm. How convenient that Senator Thompson's son has a political consulting firm. Daniel Thompson and Associates, since 2003, $178,000. In contrast, the committee made only $66,700 in contributions to other campaigns and political committees in the 4 years since Thompson retired from the Senate. God, has it been 4 years already? The payments to Thompson's son were described as for management and consulting services. And while it's not unusual for members of Congress to hire family members to work on their campaigns, the high payments to Thompson's son consulting business deserve close scrutiny, according to Sheila Krumholz, executive director of the Center for Responsive Politics. She said it raises eyebrows, it certainly does, and calls into question whether this is self-dealing. Well, I would say certainly it does. Contacted at his Nashville, Tennessee political consulting business, Daniel Thompson told ABC News he couldn't talk because he was about to leave for a business trip. Well, I bet he was. And he referred all questions to a spokesman for his father, who did not return calls from ABC News. When Thompson left the Senate in 2002, he converted more than $370,000 in leftover campaign funds into a leadership PAC, which allowed him to contribute to other politicians at a $5,000 limit and pay for a variety of other expenses, including travel and consulting services. Krumholz said retired lawmakers like Thompson often keep leadership PACs as a slush fund to help them set the stage for a run for higher office. I think I might start one of these leadership PACs for the show. I just don't think. You know, they find one way to shut the door, the McCain-Feingold Amendment, which turned out to be nothing. But they find one way to shut the door on the campaign finance slush funds and money, and these guys find a new way to get it going again. You know, this is these leadership PACs. Anybody in the Congress can start a leadership PAC. Just another way to funnel money into their own pockets and to their families' pockets. Let's face it, most of them are parasites. I don't know how else to say it. They live off of the public. They're on the public dole. Have been. You know, the part that amazes me is a lot of these politicians criticize and everything. Needy people who are on the public dole, collecting welfare, ADC, all those sorts of things. And yet they themselves have been on the public dole for a lifetime. A lot of these people have never had a job other than working for the government. Many, 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 many of them never had a job. And pertaining to this, going back to this appropriations bill, a lot of you know who Greg Sargent is. I think some of the lefties have gone off the deep end trying to defend this appropriations bill, or maybe not defend it, but trying to rationalize it somehow and move on. Greg Sargent over at the TPM Cafe writes, and he actually wrote this, "But look, what's done is done, and now that we're finished popping off, it needs to be said that generally this new Dem congressional leadership has repeatedly defied expectations with its willingness to take on the White House, just not this time." You know, I read that three or four times. I thought that someplace he's going to put a note of sarcasm in there. Greg, did you just get back from Mars? The new Democratic congressional leadership has repeatedly defied expectations with its willingness to take on the White House? Examples, please? I haven't seen much evidence of these people taking on the White House. They should be ashamed. They should really, really be ashamed. You know, Bush's poll numbers continue to drop. More Americans continue to support a change of course or a total withdrawal from Iraq. And I don't know about you, but it becomes clear each day that this surge isn't working. There's all the proof out there that you need. There is no plan B for when it fails. We're staring at an abyss in Iraq, and the Democrats seem content to let America jump headlong into it, so long as Bush and the GOP get to the bottom slightly before the Democrats do. This isn't leadership. Capitulation will not end this war. And I guarantee you, it will not. It will not get more Democrats elected in 2008. Nobody enjoys voting for cowards. That's, and I think that's what they are right now. I've grown so weary, and my voice probably tells it. I've grown so weary of hearing Bush and his accomplices and even some prominent Democrats talk about this so-called war on terror. They talk a bit about it as if terrorism is an enemy. It is not. It's a tactic that's been used over and over and over and over again. And yet the Democrats just keep letting them get away with it. Terrorism, terrorism, terrorism. Bush doesn't know. Well, even today. My friend Sarah Beth wrote me a note. She says, our great and glorious president, George W. Bush, the supreme uniter of the sadly divided people who we are, didn't just declassify a key intelligence bulletin and share the highlights with us. He revealed its contents in the kind of extraordinary detail that's usually deemed to seriously compromise our intelligence gathering capabilities. Bush said today, I've often warned that if we fail in Iraq, the enemy will follow us home. Many ask, how do you know? He said, today I'd like to share some information with you that attests to al-Qaeda's intentions. According to our intelligence community, in January 2005, Osama bin Laden tasked the terrorist Zarqawi, who was then al-Qaeda's top leader in Iraq, tasked him with forming a cell to conduct terrorist attacks outside of Iraq. Bin Laden emphasized that America should be Zarqawi's number one priority in terms of foreign attacks. Zarqawi welcomed this direction. He claimed that he'd already come up with some good proposals. And Bush goes on and on and on to explain about al-Qaeda. Is Bush okay with releasing classified information? And is there any trail of logic, no matter how weak or how convoluted, by which the intelligence information that Bush divulges establishes that if we fail in Iraq, the enemy's going to follow us home? Is there any reasonable person that can prove that? You know, Bush declassified that information on Tuesday so he could use it in this rabble-rousing speech yesterday. But it's apparently hugely puzzling to some of our elected leaders why President Bush declassified this information. For example, you can always depend on him. Senate Minority Leader Trent Lott defended Bush's selective declassification of the intelligence. He said he may not know why Bush did it, but he sure as hell knows why he didn't. The administration would never declassify intel just for political purposes, says Trent Lott. Bush put on his best rabble-rousing act. Are you properly terrified as you go about your daily lives? He asked America. Well, here's why you should be. Hear the words of Osama bin Laden. And he declaims Osama's message with a lot more passion than Osama even does himself. There's only one true terrorist, and George Bush is his press secretary. Anytime Americans are in danger of forgetting, or anytime Bush wants to raise the spirits of his legions, Bush repeats Osama's message in ringing tones, and he broadcasts it throughout the land. And I guess the question to ask is, are you properly terrorized yet? Don't worry, you will be by the end of the Memorial Day weekend. That's the president's plan. Weekend coming up. Be scared, folks. Be very, very scared. Back in a moment.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable. And I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Buffett. West Indian manatees are one of the most unique animals on Earth, and we're still finding out so many new things about them. But manatees are endangered, and many of them are killed or injured each year because of watercraft collisions or other human activities. You can help save these gentle marine mammals. For free tips on what you can do, call Save the Manatee Club at 1-800-432-JOIN. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimmy Buffett. Ah, yes, Jimmy Buffett. Welcome back to the Guy James Show. We're down to the last 20 minutes of the program today. You can give us a call at 866-546-5254, and let's go to the phone. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Pamela from Montana.
Hi, Pam. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Now, I just got an update from David Sirota about the vote in the House.
Mm-hmm.
I sent it to you. I don't know if you had
yes.
to
oh, yes. Talked about
okay,
it earlier in the program.
All right. When you click on it, it shows you the roll call vote. And it looks like most of the Dems voted for it, and most of the Republicans voted against it, along with Kucinich and a handful, and Harmon and a couple of other Congress people. It's like they got totally hoodwinked. I cannot believe it. The Republicans are going to be able to say we voted against it.
You're kidding.
Can you click on the link?
Not the one that's, the one you sent this morning?
No, this is the new one.
Oh.
The final vote results for the roll call on the vote to give them the money. And when you click on that link, it says yays 218, nays 201. And the yays, the 218, are mostly Democrats.
When did you send that?
Just now, about 10 minutes ago.
Oh, okay, then don't even have it yet. I wonder why.
Oh, I don't know.
I wish I did have that right now.
I'm just stunned. I'm just completely stunned.
Well,
I mean, with the nays, it's Kucinich and a couple of others that you expect to vote against it. But I cannot believe it. I just cannot believe it.
Pelosi?
Pelosi's not even on there. She's not even on there. It's not. She's not in the no vote. She's not on the yay vote. She's not on the nay vote.
Steny Hoyer?
Hoyer is a yay. They have all the Democrats in Roman lettering and all of the Republicans in italics.
How about Conyers?
Conyers voted yay. I'm just so disgusted. I can't hardly stand it. I just can't hardly stand it.
Well, I wish I had that up right now.
I just sent you an email about 10 minutes ago. I forwarded you David Sirota's update. And then you click on a link on that email, and it'll take you to the final vote results for roll call 418.
Okay.
On agreeing to the resolution providing for the consideration of the Senate amendment, blah, 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 making emergency supplemental appropriations for the fiscal year, blah, 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 and ending in September. And they actually, I mean, I've been watching C-SPAN all day, and it looks to me like the Republicans have total control over that House.
Okay, here we go. The roll call can be found here. Yay is 218.
Right. and you look down there.
Can this possibly be right?
I know. You look down below, and then it says Mays 201, and it's all the Republicans with Kucinich and the usual. They completely pulled a fast one. They are going to be able to get up there and say, "Well, I didn't vote to do that."
You're right. It's got the whole I can't believe this.
They're so stupid.
I can't believe this.
I know.
Can this possibly? Are we being hoodwinked? Do you think? Do you think?
You think?
Well, no. But did someone put up a fake list here? I mean, that's
This is directly from David's update. I checked on properties and everything. Because I couldn't believe it either.
I got 13 not voting, 19.
They don't matter. And there's no Pelosi.
That still leaves 3 unaccounted for.
Right.
Can you
friggin' believe it?
No, I can't. I'm looking at the list right now.
And besides that, going over to the little girl testifying yesterday, the arrested development woman sitting there.
Yeah.
At the Goodling woman.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the most important thing that happened yesterday was her admitting to caging. And Sanchez.
Did you notice how that just went?
Not knowing what caging meant.
Yeah. What was it she told him has something to do with the. I forget what she said.
Oh, it's just some kind of email spam thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Baloney!
And nobody even asked a question.
You know, it's just like Anna Riggs, the judge, you know, years ago, saying, yeah, he committed a crime. There's no point in discussing any longer how many crimes have been committed. These Democrats are not going to stand up. They are not going to do it. Look what just happened today. I mean, how stupid are they?
Do you suppose they got this turned around here somehow? I mean, I don't know how this can possibly be. I haven't seen anything this shocking in a very long time. This is on agreeing.
It's Bailey.
This is on agreeing to the resolution. Final vote results for roll call 418. Providing for the consideration of the Senate amendment 2206.
Supplemental appropriations for the fiscal year ending September 30th. That is the vote.
I'm blown away by this. There's something, Pamela, there's got to be something we're missing here. There's got to be something.
That's why I'm calling you.
Yeah. Well, I have no.
You're gasping.
I have no explanation for it.
I'm gasping at the chess game. People are dying, and these people are playing with our heads. They're playing with the country. I just can't believe it.
Providing on agreeing to the resolution. Good question. I'm reading it over and over again because I just can't fathom.
I can't compute either. I just can't. I'm stunned. I am really stunned. And by the way, I don't get Stephanie Miller either. I don't get the Young Turks. I don't get Lionel. I don't even get Randy Rose.
Well,
I mean, I used to be glad to hear her, but I just can't stand the National Enquirer Limbaugh aspect of it, you know? I mean, I can't tell you how many emails I sent to Air America saying, could we please have Guy James on in the morning? I get in my car at 3 o'clock in the morning out here, Rocky Mountain time, to deliver the frigging useless Bozeman Chronicle. You know, that's my little jobby-wobby.
The Bozeman Chronicle?
Yeah, that's what I deliver at 3 o'clock in the morning. I have this little rural route, and it pays my bills. That's what I do. So I've got my little XM radio, and I want to listen to talk, you know. I just can't take too much of the BBC, even though it's the news. The tone just drives me crazy. I really want to listen to some talk. So all I'm stuck with is Beavis and Butthead, you know. It's the Young Turks. Beavis being Ben, Butthead being Cenk.
I'll be seeing those guys next month.
They drive me crazy.
I'll be sure and tell them.
They're dumb as a bucket of rocks. The two of them, they just really are. And then Stephanie Miller, I mean, at least, Rachel Maddow, manic as she is intelligent.
Yeah, she is.
But these guys, I can't take the manic. I mean, it's got the old age thing. I have the same thing. I just like, shh, quiet down, okay. You know, but, I mean, Stephanie Miller is ridiculous, just ridiculous.
You know,
I'm all with you.
I'm reading this thing here, and there's got to be something here that we're not reading right. I mean, this can't be.
If you have David Sirota's number, I wish you'd call him because I'm in a state. I mean, I'm blanched. I'm just.
But it says this vote was. If I got this right, it says this vote was at 1:23 p.m.
Eastern.
Eastern. Yeah, that's three hours and 26 minutes ago. Why didn't I know this? On agreeing to the resolution, providing for the consideration of, well.
I don't get it either. I just went like, I'm gasping. I don't get it.
I thought I knew the procedures very well. The question on agreeing to the resolution, providing for the. I feel like I've lost my mind here. I don't know. You know, I'm seldom speechless, but I pretty much am at the moment.
I am too, and I want to know too. I just thought maybe you knew something I didn't because I am stunned. I am just stunned. Well, and the terrible part is, I believe it's possible.
Well, if you know? Had I known, I mean, I'd have probably destroyed the studio by now. I'd be so pissed off. I'm hoping does somebody on the chat room know? Somebody.
Well, let me. I'll keep listening. You see what you can find out.
Well, Pamela. I'm liable to just do a lot of stammering and stuttering because I don't know what to say.
I don't either.
I don't either. Hmm. Well.
I mean, first I get this thing about how they're going to hide it in this other vote.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now we get this update that says final vote results for roll call 418.
Well, even on this working for change website, it treats it like ho-hum. As you know, Sirota says, to update my earlier post, House Democrats passed the key rule vote, the most important vote, because it deliberately sets the stage to give... Well, you know, I've got another call waiting. Perhaps it's somebody from the Congress going to explain this to us. They got a lot of explaining to do, Lucy.
I'll be listening.
All right.
Hi, Freckles. I send that kid to me.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Let's head over to line one. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hey, Guy. I got C-SPAN on right now, and the debate on the Iraq war funding is coming up later. So I'm confused.
I am confused as well. I am looking at the roll call vote providing for the consideration of the Senate amendment making emergency supplemental appropriations for the fiscal year ending September 30th, 2007. That's it, all right. And question on agreeing to the resolution. So there's got to be something here. I hate to plead stupid on this, but I just don't know. I'm completely bamboozled by this whole thing. And,
uh-huh.
And you're watching it right now on C-SPAN.
Yeah, it says the debate on the Iraq war spending next in U.S. House.
Hmm.
So I don't think it's even begun yet.
And yet here we have a final vote results for roll call 418.
Unless that throat is surmising what they're going to vote like. I mean,
I don't know how he could come
Pelosi
up.
Pelosi would have to have her name on there, so something's funny about that.
Guy. All right, don't anybody jump off a bridge or anything.
No,
I was you know where I live here, it wouldn't do any good to jump off any bridges. Oh, well, there's no decent bridges to jump off. It's too flat around here.
Exactly.
I guess the one over the Calusi Hatchie would be our best, but still you wouldn't drown, I don't think.
Or one of the new flyovers they put in.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, Guy.
Well, thanks for letting me know that. I was getting ready to go for my blood pressure medicine. Maybe I can calm down a little bit now and find out what's actually happening on this. Because at first blush, what I'm looking at here right now is stunning. But there's something to do with that rule. The rule vote first. That's got to be what it is. Well, thanks for letting me know that. I appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome. Have a great day.
Yeah. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Providing for the consideration of the Senate amendment. I've said that. How many times have I said that now? Half a dozen, I'm sure. I think Dave got me confused earlier on in the day. I think it's what happened. He was talking about trying to hide these votes with this rule vote. I think that's what it is. They passed the rule vote. But I still don't understand, even in the rule vote, why would the Republicans have voted no unless the Democrats slipped something in there at the last minute? I'm not sure. I guess we'll find out this evening, right? Yes. 866-546-5254 if you'd like to get in a last-minute call to the program today. That one kind of blew me away. Did want to mention our good friend Billy Shears over at unreportednews.net. Billy's got his Thursday night special. I don't know if it's up yet or not, but if it isn't, it will be. Billy explains all about his love of the Beatles and John Lennon. And I encourage you to go read this. It's very personal this week, and you'll enjoy it a lot. Unreportednews.net, and just check for the Shears button over on the left-hand side, and you'll be able to read all about it. And we want to thank Billy for being the music director here at the Guy James Show. Sent us a lot of great tunes. I did want to mention today, before we wrapped up the show, a lot of people are talking about Mayor Michael Bloomberg of New York possibly throwing his hat in the ring, and I've even heard Democrats saying, oh, yay, I'd vote for him. Did you know that no mayor has ever gone from mayor to the presidency? Probably one that a couple that could have tried it before, maybe LaGuardia in New York and Daley of Chicago, although their kind of politics, I guess, didn't play well around the entire country. But Bloomberg's eligible to be the president, of course. He's over 35, and he's been 14 years at least living in the United States. And he's competent. A lot of people think he's plenty competent to be the president of the United States. But he's got plenty of money. He can fund his own campaign. One of the problems with that is, you know, when voters pledge money for your campaign, they have a lot of loyalty toward you. And when you have your own money and finance your own campaign, maybe you don't build that kind of support. But Bloomberg himself said one time when he was asked, how can a 5'7" divorced billionaire Jew running as an independent from New York possibly have a chance? And it's probably the billionaire Jew thing that might come into play if he tries to finance the race. A lot of people say, oh, maybe that won't come up. Well, it will. You know it will. They're all over it with Romney right now. And they're all over it with Barack Obama's race and Hillary Clinton being a woman. So you know doggone well that Bloomberg's religion, being Jewish, would most certainly come into play. I personally know people that, you know, there are racists. There are people that wouldn't elect somebody Jewish. I know it's a shame, but that's the way it is. And the thing is, with Bloomberg, who will he take the most votes away from? A lot of people think he'll take the most votes away from Republicans. And I guess that would be a good thing. If he's a third-party candidate, you know, you have to get 270 electoral votes to win. And if you don't, then it goes into the House, and the House decides. And the House being Democratic, you know who they're going to decide, even if the Democrats came in last. So we're faced with an odd situation if he gets into the race, that's for certain. I do want to thank you for being with the program this afternoon. I probably sound half crazy here this last few minutes. I've somewhat taken by surprise by that vote on that rule, but we'll get that straightened out in just a little bit and find out what exactly is happening with it. I do want to remind everybody that this is a listener-supported program, And we're having a real problem with that right now. And I know things are tight. I know the economy's not good for so many people. People out of work, lost their jobs, their homes, everything else. But we need your help to continue the program. We really do. And I mean that in all sincerity. And I hope you'll help us out if you can. Or put a bug in somebody else's ear if they like to continue this program. We believe it's a good program. We think it's worthwhile, and we hope you do as well. You're listening to the Guy James Show here on the Head On Radio Network, and don't forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth. See you soon, gang.